Friends, we begin today the great season of Advent. So happy New Year. The new liturgical year is upon us. You know, when I was growing up, there was a bit of a debate. Some of you who are older might remember this as well. Is what kind of season exactly is Advent? So a lot of the language was about a time of joyful, hopeful expectation, which isn't necessarily wrong, but I think some people took it to some extremes. In fact, they even wanted to replace the colors of Advent from purple to a blue, that the blue was a kind of waiting, hope. And all of that is fine on one level. However, I am wearing purple vestments. We have not sung the Gloria today, and it is absolutely clear that Advent is a penitential season. It is a penitential season, purple, the color of penance, right? The same color that we bring out in Lent. Now, Lent is probably the most intense penitential season in the church, but Advent is a penitential season, right? And I think it can also be both a time of penance and repentance and a time of joyful expectation. Once we understand what sin really does. See, sin is always a constricting, right? It chokes off the life that God wants to give us. And so anytime we turn away from sin, i.e. repent, when we turn away from sin, life comes in. We're saying no to something that causes death, sin. And we're saying yes to the one who is the source of all life, God. Jesus, when he shows up in Mark's gospel, he says, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Repent. It's one of the first words that Jesus says. Repent, in the Greek that he uses, metanoiete. Metanoia literally means to go beyond the mind you have. Meta and nous. Now, when we sin, there is that constricting. Our horizons get narrow. And so when God exhorts us to repent, it's a broadening of our possibilities, our perspectives, because we're saying yes to grace. And that grace is an ever-expansive reality as his reign and rule breaks into our lives. And so that's what we're called to this Advent season. This first reading that we have today is from the 63rd chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah is really, in so many ways, the book of Advent. So spend some time with that if you can. What's the effect of sin in our life? The prophet says, "Why do you let us wander, O Lord, from your ways, and harden our hearts so that we fear you not?" Friends, that hardening of heart is a real effect of sin in our lives. And I think it's very important for us in this current time in our culture, in our nation's history, in our church's history, in the world's history, where we reflect on the state of our hearts. Because for many reasons, many of which are beyond our control, our hearts are being assailed. And I'm sensing more and more and seeing more and more a hardening of heart, whether it's from the pandemic, whether it's from the election, whether it's from situations in the church, there's a hardening of hearts. And that's problematic, because if our hearts are hardened, one, they develop hard edges and they become incapable of loving with those hard edges, but also, and this is very connected to that, if our hearts are hardened, we cannot be shaped or formed. And who of us here would say that we're ready, that we've been shaped and formed perfectly well, that we're ready for the coming of Christ? I can't say that for myself. I don't think any of you could as well. So we need to be shaped. We need to be formed. And the hardening of our hearts through sin frustrates that desire that God has to shape us rightly. So we need to be softened then. And that's what grace does. See, at the end of this reading that we have today, there's beautiful lines. Yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you the potter. We are all the work of your hands. I don't know if any of you have ever worked with clay before, but you can't have it be hardened. The clay has to be softened. It can't be shaped in any way if it's hardened. In fact, if you try to shape hardened, brittle clay, it will break. It will crumble. And you won't have any shape at all. That's what happens when our hearts get hardened through sin. We become brittle. So God's grace has to come and soften us so that we can be shaped and formed in the right way. It's good to pray with as we start Advent. What ways does your heart need to be softened so it can be shaped and formed in the right way? Now, friends, I also want to speak about maybe the opposite extreme. If we harden in to certain positions, and sometimes it's because of our anger or our frustration or even our fears, we become brittle. But there is the other extreme as well. And that's if you've ever worked with clay that has too much water in it, where there's no shape or form to be had, not because it's hardened or brittle, but because the clay has lost its substantial tackiness. It can't be shaped or formed, right? Because it's too diluted. And sometimes that happens in our culture too, especially where everything goes. And so we're called to walk the middle ground. That's above both of those extremes. Not to be hardened or brittle, but also to have enough substance so that we can have a certain shape. That's what grace does. See, it protects us from both extremes, from hardening our hearts too much, and also from maybe not caring enough, maybe not having any standards or substances. We want to be substantial people that God can use and shape in a certain way. And so the church in her wisdom, God in his infinite wisdom, gives us this great season of Advent. Advent is a time of training. St. John Paul II, he said the whole of our life must be an Advent. Advent, the word means to come toward, ad venire, ad venire. But here's the thing. We tend to think of the spiritual life as our project. So I'm going to come toward Christ this Advent. Well, good. That's fine on certain levels, like to make time for him in a more intentional way. However, what we're preparing for is his coming. His coming to us. That's what's important in the spiritual life, is that God comes to us. It's way more significant and way more effective that God comes to us rather than that we come to God. So St. Bernard of Clairvaux, great saint, doctor of the church, he talks about the three comings of Christ. So first, the incarnation, right, that we prepare for, that we'll remember on December 25th. Jesus descends from heaven, takes on our human nature, and everything changes because of that. And then St. Bernard talks about the final coming of Christ, sometimes called the second coming of Christ. At the end of time, when he will come to judge heaven and earth and each one of us. But significantly, St. Bernard speaks of a third coming of Christ, the one that happens in between the incarnation and the final judgment. And that's the coming of Christ that happens right now. Right now, Jesus is coming to you and to me. Right now, he is knocking at the door of our hearts. Right now, he is seeking to break into our lives with his grace, to soften us where we need to be softened, to make us substantial where we need to grow. That third coming of Christ is what we need to awaken to. It's what we need to watch for. It's what we need to be alert for. And that's the call of the gospel. Watch, stay awake, stay alert. And that's the call of Advent. To watch and to direct our hearts toward this coming of Christ that happens each and every moment, certainly each and every Mass. So John Paul II, he continues his quote. He says, "It's necessary to understand that the whole of our life must be an Advent, a vigilant waiting of the coming of Christ." Then he goes on, "Advent is, so to speak, an intense training that directs us decisively toward him who already came, who will come, and who comes continuously." I love Pope John Paul II. What a great saint. He says, "Advent is an intense training." Intense training. Not so much this quiet waiting, but a time to stir up our spiritual energies in an intense manner and direct them decisively, as he says, toward Christ. Decisive, that's a great word, right? Decision means literally to cut away from. In the same way that an incision means to cut into, decision means to cut away from. So what do we need to cut away from in our life so that we can direct ourselves, our hearts, all of who we are, toward Jesus, toward the one who did come, who will come, and who comes continuously to us? What do we need to cut away from? That's why the Church gives us the great disciplines that oftentimes we only associate with Lent: prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Each one directs us toward Christ. Each one helps us cut away from certain things and then engage other things so that our hearts can be formed, that they can be softened in the right way and made more substantial in other ways. Prayer creates space for God so that he has access to our hearts. Fasting separates us from our lower desires so that we can say yes to the greater desires. The desire for God, the desire to love him well and to live our faith in real ways. And then almsgiving directs us to those who are in need, to remember that love is the fulfillment of the gospel, that it has to be lived in an incarnate way, just as we prepare ourselves for the coming of Christ, the incarnation. So, brothers and sisters, as we begin this Advent journey, dedicate yourselves to prayer, to fasting, to almsgiving. Yes, the disciplines that call for repentance, to change our lives, to expand our horizons, to let the grace of God break in and open us. And then he'll form our hearts rightly. He'll soften us where we need to be softened, and he'll make us substantial where we need to grow. And in that, we'll prepare for him, Jesus, our Lord, who came and who will come, and who comes to us continuously. Amen.